Well, hello and welcome to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. I'm John Stillman, alongside Joel Johnson, certified financial planner and co-founder of Johnson Brunetti. You've seen him published in Forbes, the Wall Street Journal, and the Hartford Business Journal as the host of Better Money on the Sunday Morning News with Kara Sundlin, and as an analyst for Fox Business, Fox Connecticut, NBC 30, and WTNH Channel 8. Joel, we always appreciate your wisdom here on the show. How are you this week?
Well, I'm doing great, and I'm excited about some of the things that we will be talking about today. We're going to talk about common 401k questions that people have. And what's exciting about this segment is my partner, Eric Hogarth, who many of you have met at some of our functions that we have around the area, has put out a book called The Ultimate 401k, and it's a guide to all things 401k. But what's great about it, similar to my writings, is it's written in plain, simple English. It gives you some suggestions, some guidelines on how to look at your 401k maybe in a different way, how to use it to its utmost. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today, common 401k questions. We're also going to get to your email questions, but I want to just touch base on, you know, the summer season. I look forward to the summertime, and it's just kind of a neat time to go into a relaxed state of mind, but we don't want to relax about our financial planning. We don't want to relax about our investments, especially the way this market has been over the last 7 years, where it's basically gone straight up since the downturn and since the bottom of the market. And we talked a little bit, I think, last week about the returns that the market has seen, where, you know, from the bottom to the top, we've basically got a triple going if you've just been involved in blue chip stocks in the U.S. And so it is not the time to be complacent. So even though we want to kind of relax a little bit, do not relax. Do not take your eye off the ball when it comes to your investments. In fact, if anything, right now is the time where you might want to be rebalancing, readjusting your portfolio to protect some of those gains you've received, because you don't want to give up those gains, especially if you're in retirement or getting close to retirement.
Well, Joel, let's open up that mailbag. As you said, we'll take some questions from the folks, and we're going to start today with Jeff, who says, I'll be turning 63 in a month, and I'd really like to retire soon, but I'm worried about what to do about health insurance since I won't be old enough for Medicare. How do you normally advise people on this when they're retiring before 65?
Well, this is an excellent question, Jeff, and this is something that many, many people have faced, where they'll come to us and they'll say, hey, Joel, we're ready to retire. We've got all the money to retire, except we don't want to pay this massive premium every month for health insurance until we can go on Medicare, which, of course, most people can go on Medicare when they're 65 years old. So Jeff here is asking about the question of retiring and then having a two-year gap before he can go on Medicare, when, of course, the health insurance is much less expensive when we're on Medicare than when we're paying out of pocket. So, Jeff, the first thing you'll need to do is we'll need to do an income plan and see, do you have enough money to retire and also have some additional money to pay the premium, the increased premium for 2 years before you can actually go on Medicare. Now, the good news here, that's the bad news, is you're going to have to pay some extra premium if you retire early. The good news is, because of the Affordable Care Act, you are actually able to buy in now to a less expensive policy than you would have been in the past. And that policy or those premiums are based on your income. And sometimes we can manipulate your taxable income down over the next 2 years to be able to qualify for a bigger subsidy. I know it gets kind of technical for some of you that are listening to that, but the bottom line is we're able to do more to reduce your premium now on health insurance than we could in the past, because the premium through the Affordable Care Act is basically income based, not cash flow based, but taxable income based. So, Jeff, we'd love to talk to you about that. The bottom line, though, here is, and what I really want to take away from this when we get away from the health insurance thing and so on, is don't make lifestyle decisions just based on money. If you're ready to retire, if you feel like you're excited to retire at age 63, let's figure out a way you can do that, not figure out all the reasons why you shouldn't do that, Jeff.
Well said. And very often it makes more sense to go ahead and retire and maybe even cut lifestyle a little bit if it means retiring a couple of years earlier than you planned. But certainly that's a decision that needs to be made on a case-by-case basis. How about Mary, who says, what's better, term life insurance, universal life, or whole life?
Well, you know, I own all of the above. So, and I'm going to be 55 next month. I own all of the above, but I will say this. This is a hard question to answer because it depends on your situation, Mary. But for most people, they should buy term insurance and probably as much as they need for as low a premium as possible. Certainly if you're younger and if you're starting a family and you don't have your retirement savings intact yet, you want to buy as much term insurance as you can. And I would try to buy about 10 times your income if you're a younger person. If you're a younger person, you make $60,000 a year, have at least $600,000 of term insurance. You can do that incredibly cheap, and it protects your future income for your family should you die. Now, as you get older and you're doing estate planning and you might be using life insurance to pay estate taxes on a discounted basis or to create liquidity to pass a business on and so on, then universal life or whole life may make more sense. But for most people, if they just need the death benefit, it's best to buy term insurance to pay a lower premium and have the death benefit in place. And Mary, I'd be glad to talk to you one-on-one if you want to call in when we give out the number later in the program, and I can kind of walk you through, based on your circumstances, what I feel like makes the most sense for you.
One more question for you, Joel. This comes in from Donna, who says, my husband has always been tight with money, but it's been even worse ever since he retired. He won't let us spend money on anything. Is there a way to fix this?
I don't know of a way, Donna. I am sorry to tell you that. We hear this a lot. Sometimes this is fear-based, where maybe your husband, since he's retired, is just worried that he's lost his earning power and he's worried about running out of money. So maybe it would help to do a good financial plan. Obviously, we can help you with that. We start every relationship with a financial plan here at Johnson Brunetti, and it might ease his mind a little bit knowing that he has saved enough and he can relax a little bit. But other times, it's just a family of origin issue. That's what the psychologists call it, where, we may have been brought up in a family where there was always this philosophy of money's tight, we've got to scrimp, we've got to save, and he might have that, your husband might have that so ingrained in him that it's just something that can't be corrected. We are not marriage counselors here at Johnson Brunetti, but I do know this. Some people have relaxed a little bit after having a good financial plan that shows them that they will be okay, you'll have the income you need for the rest of your life, and many times that relaxation will allow that person to lighten up a little bit, because many times this holding on to money is based on fear.
Joel, you mentioned earlier in the show that we do get a lot of questions about 401ks. So just wanted to run through a lot of those common questions that we get about 401ks right here. So question number one that we hear a lot is, my company plan is offering a program where I can get free advice or maybe advice for a very low fee on my 401k. Is it a good idea to use this?
Well, it's better than using nothing, but the quality of that advice I would question, because I know how those companies work. I'm not going to mention the names of the companies. I don't want to have anybody calling me in an angry way. But my guess is, because I know the Massachusetts and Connecticut and New York 401k plans pretty darn well, I can kind of guess the company that's offering you that. I think they're offering you more asset allocation on the investments than true advice, and certainly not good financial planning advice. So I would go into it with an expectation that you're just going to get basic asset allocation advice and maybe a little help doing some kind of a projection. You're certainly not getting full financial planning. And if they're trying to do full financial planning, it's unlikely that you'd get a real high-end quality advisor working at a call center for one of these 401k providers. And I say unlikely. My idea would be, maybe get a second opinion on your 401k. We can help you with that. Obviously, we don't make any money by giving you advice on your 401k, but you want to see how your 401k fits into a total financial plan. And then you can decide whether you want a little outside advice for that low fee and just basically keeping your fund and investments on track. But it's basically asset allocation advice or fund allocation advice based on a computer program, typically, and not real high quality financial planning advice. So just go into it with good expectations.
Another common question is, should I contribute as much as I can to my 401k or only as much as the company will match?
Well, you absolutely should contribute what the company will match. And for most people, they should contribute as much as they can to their 401k. Now, whether you go into the Roth side of the 401k or the pre-tax side of the 401k is a different question that we would have to answer one-on-one. But for most people, they should contribute absolutely as much as they can to their 401k. Remember what I say on Channel 3 all the time on our TV program on Sunday mornings, which is Save 15% of your income. The target, the ideal is to save 15% of your income, and you will be able to live like very few of your friends in retirement.
We often have people ask about target date funds. Should I use target date funds in my 401k? Joel, what's your take on those?
Well, again, this is one of those answers where I will say it's better than not having a true investment strategy at all and just picking your funds. Target date funds, if you stick with them, will prevent you from messing up your investment choices by being involved in emotions, trying to time the market, picking your funds based on past performance, and so on. So it's better than no strategy at all. But I am not a huge fan of target date funds. Some of them are problematic. I think you're better off getting one-on-one advice with a good qualified financial advisor to set up an asset allocation program that makes sense for you and have somebody that can be an outside coach before you make changes that are going to hurt you. Statistically, the more changes someone makes in their 401k, the more likely they are to make those changes to their own detriment. So be careful about that. Try to come up with a strategy. If you don't feel comfortable talking to anybody on the outside, then a target date fund is better than no strategy at all.
We're talking about common questions that we get from folks about 401ks. Is taking a 401k loan always a bad idea? Joel, how do you respond to that?
Yes, it is. No further explanation needed. Do not borrow money out of your 401k. Do not do early withdrawals. Leave the money in your 401k. Even if you're going bankrupt, the 401k assets are protected from the claims of your creditors, so I cannot think of any valid reason to take money out of your 401k, and that includes paying for children's college education. Is that straightforward enough?
Yeah, John? I think
okay. Are we clear? As my son's Marine Corps colonel would say, are we clear?
Right. I don't think you left any gray area there. One final question that we get about 401ks is, when should I take money out of my 401k and roll it over to an IRA?
Well, for the most part, when you leave the company, you should not leave those assets behind. I would say well over 90% and maybe over 95% of the time, it makes sense to roll money out of a 401k into an IRA where you have more choices and more flexibility. There's this big discussion about fees these days, but most people that have done a good job saving need to get some custom advice and some custom financial planning. And there is going to be a cost for that. And most people that find a good financial planner would agree that that cost is well worth it. And so I cannot think of a good reason that most people shouldn't move their money out of their 401k and roll it over to an IRA. The other thing that we see many times, John, is these people have three or four or five different 401ks because they've changed jobs, and nobody's really paying attention to the big picture because we've got these different investment accounts. So you really need to get with a financial advisor that even if all your accounts are not in one place, they look at the whole picture and they come up with an investment plan based on the whole picture so you don't have all kinds of overlap and things that are hurting you where you're taking more risk than you realize you're taking. So great questions that we've been talking about here on the 401k questions. Again, my business partner, Eric, has written a great book, and it's a small book, but it's very, very powerful. The Ultimate 401k, he's called it, and it talks about the basics of 401ks, rollovers, investments, different choices, in-service rollovers where you can roll over your money before you leave your company. Most people are able to do that, that we talk to, that come into the office. And so it's great, great advice on your 401k. With that said, I want to offer you any 401k advice or any financial planning advice. Come on into our office and get the Money Map Retirement Review. We have offices located all around the area, very close to where you are right now, and we want to offer you that Money Map Retirement Review. It's totally complimentary. There's no pressure. People leave our office with not only a one-page financial plan that they love, but an income plan that shows if they're going to be okay for the rest of their lives, and a stress test or an investment analysis on your portfolio, which we started the show out, folks, saying many people are getting complacent with their investments right now because the markets have been so good. Most people are taking more risk than they realize. So I want to offer to the next 12 callers that call right now the Money Map Retirement Review. Well, you'll get that investment analysis. You'll get a retirement income projection and a plan. Even if you're already in retirement, it's very valuable. And of course, that one-page financial plan. Call now 1-800-705-1232. That's 1-800-705-1232. Get your Money Map Retirement Review. Call now. for the next 12 callers. We'll do that absolutely free for you. 1-800-705-1232. There's no obligation. You'll be glad you came in.
Terrific opportunity if you're retired or getting close to retirement and you want to be sure you have your ducks in a row. 800-705-1232 is the number to call. That's 800-705-1232. This is Money Wisdom. Joel Johnson is a certified financial planner and co-founder of Johnson Brunetti. Joel, let's talk about some income planning essentials on the program today. So many people think they have a retirement plan, but they don't have an income plan. And if you don't have an income plan, you don't really have a retirement plan. So let's talk about some of the essential things you have to have in place to have a proper income plan. The first thing you need to consider is that you need to be planning to be retired, that is to say, unemployed, for decades, not just years.
Yeah, I mean, think back, folks, about 30 years ago, somebody would die at age 67 or 68, and we'd say, well, they lived a good life. Now, somebody dies at 67 or 68, and what do you say?
My gosh, so young.
Exactly. We say, oh my goodness, they died so young. I wonder what happened. Retirement has changed. Our whole attitude in the U.S. about health has changed. People know more about their health. They're paying attention to what they eat. The medicine and the medical care is much, much better than it used to be. Obviously, pharmaceuticals help that out, people living longer. And so people live much longer than they used to. We've got to plan to be retired for, I would say, at least 30 years. I know that comes to a shock to some of you when you say, well, I'm going to retire at age 65. Joel, you're saying I'm going to live to 95. The reality is, if I am talking to a couple today, both age 65, I believe there's about a 35% chance one of them will be alive at age 95. And we're not willing to bet your financial future based on 65% probability that you'll both be dead. That's just not good prudent financial planning. So we want to make sure that we plan for at least 30 years of retirement, if not longer, or at least well into your 90s. And that means you've got to take into account an awful lot. But basically, you need an income plan. That's what we talk about in that Money Map Retirement Review that we do for you, folks. We do an income projection, an income plan that shows you not only if you're going to be okay for the rest of your life, but also what rate of return do you need on your savings to be okay, to meet all your goals, and so on.
Joel, another income planning essential is not ignoring inflation. So many people just don't take that into account when they're putting together an income plan.
Right. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, 30, 40 years ago, inflation wasn't as big of a deal. We retired. We got Social Security. We might have gotten a pension. And most people passed away when they were in their early or mid-70s. And so they might have only been retired for 10 years, and inflation wasn't as big of a deal. Well, now, if you live into your 80s and 90s, which many of you listening to me right now will, and probably be pretty physically active, we've got to be able to give ourselves raises each year to protect against inflation. Let's say you've determined that when you retire, you want $10,000 a month coming into the house that you can spend. That means every year we've got to increase that by at least 3% to keep up with the cost of living. So over a 30-year period, you've got to at least double that $10,000 per month to feel like $10,000 per month does today. It's very important. It's the power of inflation that's going to cause you to run out of money trying to keep up with the cost of living. So we're talking about two major things here. One is planning to be retired for decades and making sure you don't run out of money. But part of that making sure you don't run out of money is being able to give yourselves raises every year to keep up with the cost of living. And those two really go hand in hand.
You mentioned Social Security, Joel. That's another essential part of an income plan. The problem is a lot of people take it at the wrong time.
Well, they certainly do. And it's very interesting. Everything we're reading now, if you read any of the financial publications coming out, AARP, Money Magazine, Kiplinger, Smart Money, actually Smart Money might not even be around anymore, but other publications that will say, take Social Security as late as you can. Wait till 70 if you can. Well, the less money you have, the more validity that advice has. Let me say that again. The less money you have, the more that advice makes sense, that you should wait until you're 70 to take it. But the more money you have, some people should take it much earlier. It just makes more sense sometimes, if you have a lot of money in savings and brokerage accounts, to take Social Security, which is an asset you can't control, and leave the money in those 401ks and brokerage accounts, because that ultimately is money you could pass on to your kids if you don't use it all. You certainly can't pass on Social Security to your kids. So the bottom line is, part of a retirement income plan, which is what we're talking about here, income planning essentials, is when is the right time for you to take Social Security. The only thing I know for sure about Social Security is, if you're absolutely broke, you should wait as long as possible to take it, which sounds kind of counterintuitive, but you should wait as long to take it if you're absolutely broke, because you're going to need more money as you live longer. But if you have more money, if you've done a good job saving, then it's not just this default decision to wait until you're 70. We need to do an analysis as part of an overall retirement income plan and treat Social Security just like we would another retirement asset, like your 401ks, IRAs, brokerage accounts.
Another essential for having a good income plan is understanding all of your options for income-generating investments. A lot of people just don't exactly know what's on the table in that department.
Right. Many people often just think of bonds and not much else when it comes to income-generating investments to have in retirement. Bonds are certainly one option, but there are other options. There are preferred stocks. There are real estate investment trusts. There are closed-end mutual funds. There are some great bond managers out there, specialty managers that many of you probably haven't heard of. I have a significant amount of my family's money in certain closed-end funds that use a little bit of leverage, which sounds scary for some of you, but they generate fantastic yields that I can use if I want that income. They create tremendous cash flow as a nice offset to a stock portfolio or a stock fund portfolio. There are other alternative investments, and there are, of course, annuities, which, in my opinion, if used properly, can be a great piece of many people's retirement income portfolio. But for other people, they should completely avoid annuities. So the bottom line is, there are all kinds of options for income-generating types of investments out there to complement your stock or stock mutual fund portfolios. And if you are just getting the conventional wisdom from the typical no-load fund families, you're not going to hear anything about those other investments. The key to having a good retirement is planning for your income, doing the things that we've talked about, which is planning for that income to last for the rest of your life, protecting against inflation, knowing when to take Social Security, and then having a very, very well-balanced investment portfolio. Most people don't get even one of these things right, let alone all four that we've talked about today. So it's very, very important that you either do your homework really well or get with a financial advisor that can help you walk through this so that you have a fantastic plan in place. So folks, we've talked today about 401k essentials, 401k decisions and mistakes people make. And then we've talked about income planning essentials, and it all goes into what every retiree should have, whether you're already retired or whether you're getting close to retirement, which is a good financial plan. We call our planning process the Money Map Retirement Review. It's very unique. It's very enjoyable for you to go through. What we have seen is people leave our office with so much more confidence and so much less fear than they had when they came in just going through this process. I want you to come in and take advantage of this offer, folks. You will benefit from going through this process whether you ever become a client or not. The markets have done great lately. Over the last few years, most of us are up substantially than we were before, but we're taking a lot more risk and we don't even realize it. Many of you are taking more risk than you realize you're taking, and you could get hurt when the markets go down. You will get hurt when the markets go down if you're taking too much risk. So come on in, get that Money Map Retirement Review, get a retirement income plan, get a stress test on your portfolio, and get that one-page simple financial plan with our recommendations on it. And then you can be the judge whether you want to implement those with us or leave our office and implement those on your own or with somebody else. That's completely up to you, but we want to give you this wonderful service as a reward for being our listeners. Call now, 1-800-705-1232. Call 1-800-705-1232. You'll get your Money Map Retirement Review, and you'll get one of the seven books that myself and my partner Eric have authored.
In addition to the Money Map Retirement Review, you'll benefit greatly from those books that you can take with you and read at your leisure and really get a continued education from the folks at Johnson Brunetti. The number to call is 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. Go ahead and call, and we'll reach back out to you and find a time to schedule your Money Map retirement review. 800-705-1232. Up against the clock, but we'll look forward to talking with you next week right here, same time, same place, on Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom.
Have a great week, folks.
Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products and services are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents in all appropriate jurisdictions.